Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years with 7 cafes and drive-thru locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guest today is Aaron Tolis Walker from Catholic Community Service. Hello, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good afternoon, and it's a beautiful sunny day.
It is. Yes, it is. Get out while you can. I think some more rain is moving in. Anyway, it's good to speak with you. It's been a long time. Why don't you just start us off by introducing yourself and tell us what's your role at Catholic Community Service?
Okay. So my name is Erin Walker Tolis, and I am the Executive Director of Catholic Community Service, which is a regional faith-based nonprofit serving all of Southeast Alaska with senior services. We also have healthcare and services as well as child and family services.
Sorry, I got your name switched around there when I introduced you.
Aaron, it's all good.
Erin Walker Tolis, thank you so much. Okay, so why don't we talk a little bit about how Catholic Community Services has responded to the pandemic? Are you, first of all, are your offices still open to the public?
You know, we've tried to limit that. We really don't want to have open lobby time. We have really modified those in-person services, but we still, you know, you're still able to drop stuff off for us. You're still able to get help. It's just a matter of we don't really have lobby hours right now still.
Got it. And is most of the staff working from home?
You know, most of us were working from home when our jobs permitted it. Of course, we have a lot of staff who are delivering meals on wheels, who are driving vans, who are cooking in kitchens that their job, they still came in and had work to do on site. But those of us who have office type jobs or can do our jobs sort of long distance because we weren't supposed to be meeting with seniors in person, most of us started working from home. We are starting to transition back, but trying to do so mindfully in shifts and in following the CBJ's mandates with social distancing and mask wearing and everything when personal health stuff doesn't prohibit that.
Right. Considering the services that you provide and the communities that you serve, I know it's important for you to be extra careful. Were you all still able to provide all of the services that you normally would during this time?
Well, you know, health alert number 7 that came out on March 17th closed all senior congregate programs, and that included all of our 11 senior centers, our congregate meals program at those centers, and of course the Bridge Adult Day Center. We're all closed by order of the state. Of course, we'd already taken steps to do that the week prior because we saw the writing on the wall and wanted to keep seniors safe. But we have been providing modified services this entire time. So of course, people who normally come in for congregate meals just got Meals on Wheels instead. And instead of being able to do wellness checks in person as we dropped off meals for homebound seniors, we got a bunch of lists together, and folks who weren't able to go out and do their jobs at their normal site were calling seniors and caregivers, checking in on them and scheduling phone calls to have conversations with them. And of course, with caregivers of elders as well, because that can be, especially for those folks who are caring for an elder with Alzheimer's at home, it can be a lot of work and it can be exhausting. And so we've tried to actually, in many cases, step up what we've been doing to help more people. We are doing a lot of support for caregivers right now in those circumstances. And we're actually serving Meals on Wheels to seniors who've never used our programs before. So it was exciting to actually reach new people, grow some of our services, and try to reach out and do more just in a really modified way for those programs. Although I have to say, now that things are starting to loosen up a bit, we got permission from the state to do one-on-one services at the Bridge Adult Day Center. So we have a schedule where different elders are coming in and having a half a day of programming with a single staff person, lots of precautions, so that those caregivers can have a rest and those, you know, it's easy to decompensate when you don't have that enriched environment, all that programming for someone with Alzheimer's or TBI. So it's been great to get folks back into the center, even if it is just for a half day at a time, just for a one-on-one.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of change in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
For your organization and your staff. Yeah, go ahead.
It was very challenging. At the beginning, the standards for protective gear, PPE, and standards kept changing. It seemed like sometimes like every day. So we kept having to change our guidance for all of our senior center staff, all of our drivers, and also based on communities, because some communities like Sitka shut down their transportation and public transit system entirely. So there were no paratransit rides at all in Sitka. There still aren't. We're working on opening it back up now. But in other places, like here in Juneau, we worked with CBGA Capital Transit really closely to as the operator contractor for that, to make sure that we were taking all precautions possible, limited number of people on the bus, and everything, just to make sure. But critical rides, people still need to get to the doctor. There are still some things that people need to do. But what we did is modify that. So instead of offering rides to everywhere, we started offering grocery delivery and pick up your mail for you and pick up your prescriptions for you and stuff like that in cases where the business wasn't able to do that. Didn't want to take any business away from businesses that were hurting, but not all businesses deliver. So we tried to step it up and provide that service across Southeast and all the communities where we have that going on. The only community where we weren't able to maintain a level of service was Yakutat. All three of our staff there needed to shelter in place and were not able to participate in sort of modified services. So we're working on getting them back and running too. For hospice and home care, Juno, we just kept trucking along, man. Just tons and tons of PPE and procedures to stay safe. But hospice has been open this whole time, going into people's homes. Same thing for home health. But of course, we saw a huge drop in the number of people we served because, of course, with no elective, if anything that could be postponed at the hospital was postponed, and we serve a lot of folks coming out with hip replacement, knee replacement, recovering from surgery. When they stopped all those surgeries, the number of people that we were serving went zip really down. And of course, that created financial problems for that portion of our business because no service delivered, no money coming in, we have some grants, but it's not enough to sustain the program without that Medicaid and Medicare coming in,
Got it. And we'll talk a little bit more about how folks can help out with donations and gifts and help you guys, kind of restore some of the funding that you lost. I did want to ask though, how are the seniors that you serve? How is the and the other community members that you serve? How are they doing? How do they do through all of this? How do they do with the constant change and all the modifications that were made? Do you feel like they adapted pretty well?
I think yes. I've been just really impressed, and I think part of it has to do with the community response. I mean, we had so many people volunteer to help out. Most of all of our meals in Juneau are delivered by volunteers, but a lot of our volunteers were seniors themselves. We had to bring on like 10 new volunteers, lickety split. We had so many people volunteer that we didn't have enough meals for them all to take to go to deliver to someone. And I think, making the phone calls and checking in on folks, it's been really amazing how fantastic and how supportive the community's been. We got a lot of donations. Places like SeaAlaska donated $25,000 to help our response. So we saw this sort of outpouring of support, and I think that really translate into to feeling supported, even if you're fairly isolated at home as a senior. I think the population, honestly, I'm most worried about are our kids who experience abuse. We know that domestic violence is just skyrocketing right now due to the stress and not being able to just walk out and take a break. And yet reports of harm for children across Alaska and across the nation have gone way, 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 way down. We know that there are many kids experiencing abuse and witnessing domestic violence, and they're not seeing those safe adults. They're not seeing that teacher, that coach, that neighbor like they normally would. And those are the folks who recognize something's off and make a call. And so we're very, very concerned about those kids. In fact, we're about to start a public awareness education campaign to let folks know, please reach out to those kids that you don't live with, that you care about. Check on them. Give them a safe place to say how they're doing without judgment, and keep an eye out. keep an eye out for them, because those kids, but I have to say, we're still open for emergent cases. We all still are. I mean, JPD still calls us. We still are doing interviews of kids with suspected abuse neglect, and still identifying abuse is just way, way down. And we know that there's lots of kids out there who aren't getting the help and the relief and the support and the safety they need right now.
Yeah, you make a good point. It's a lot less visible with everybody hunkered down, and they're not seeing those trusted members of the community that they normally would otherwise. But if somebody does see something and they want to report it, what's the correct protocol, and how would your organization respond?
Well, there's two places to call. There's, you know, obviously JPD, or you could call the troopers even, or really most people call Office of Children's Services. But if you're in a situation where you're really not sure whether you should, like what you're encountering is something you should report, and you're not sure if you should report or not, call us, because we're happy to do that public education, and sort of, not that we're the people to report to, but if you're not sure if you should report, you can call us and ask. And I know that there are times when JPD calls us and says, okay, it's the weekend. I don't know that, we're not sure what's going on. And what do we do now with this one? We get those calls sometimes, late at night. And we always try to respond and be available. And we're available on the weekends to do those interviews to substantiate the abuse so that law enforcement can take immediate action and protect that kid legally.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. I'm really glad you mentioned that. It wasn't necessarily on my radar of things to ask you about today, so I'm glad that you made a point to say something about that. I'm not sure folks would think about calling you just to see what they should do, use you as a resource in that sense.
Yeah, sometimes people are hesitant because they're like, oh gosh, is this really something I should report? I mean, is this even reportable? And then they feel weird about it, and maybe they hesitate and don't call. And for us, part of what we do is outreach and community education. And so if you need a little bit of community education one-on-one, you can call us for that education, and we will give you that sense of confidence you need to know, do I pick up the phone to call Office of Children's Services? Do I call law enforcement right now? So if you need a bit of education, you're not sure, we're your resource.
All right. Well, thank you so much again for that. Erin, are any of these modifications that you guys have made in response to COVID-19, do you think you'll keep any of these in place after things, maybe it's going to be a while, but when things sort of go back to the way they were before?
Definitely we're talking about how can we save money and have more folks work from home, honestly, so that we can save money. We've gone mostly digital with our financials and sort of the behind the scenes stuff so that we can keep things going. We were already kind of transitioning, but now this sort of kicked us into high gear. We're definitely holding on to that. When it comes to the direct services, I think some of the stuff we're just now getting into place is with a mind towards what if this really lasts a long time, what if this happens again, and looking at, well, how do we connect by Zoom to people? How are we a resource for the community when you can't just drop by the office? And so I feel like we're trying to make that transition to make sure we're accessible, even if we're not able to be accessible face to face. And I feel like that's a good transition for us to make, especially, a lot of seniors and elders, they need some education. Some things we're doing, we sped up the time frame. We're trying to get a new Friends of Seniors volunteer program going. There's a lot of seniors who need help. Unfortunately, some nonprofits have really scaled back their direct services. And so we're seeing more need in the community for things like chore service and personal care attendant. And we're trying to think about ways we can help fill those gaps. And then there's the public education for the community around children's safety. And then there's I think some of the partnerships we've developed through this experience with the city, with the Interfaith Council and other churches. I feel like that's really something we want to keep going and build on.
That all sounds great. So I know one of the things you wanted to talk about today is the championship campaign. You've had a lot of generosity with volunteers and donations, but this is something new. And it appears as though it is geared to sort of help with some of the fundraising challenges that Catholic Community Services had. Do you want to tell us all about it?
Sure thing, sure thing. Yeah, we're really excited. You know, we've been talking, like I'm sure a lot of nonprofits have, like, well, we really need to get more digital. We need to make Facebook happen more. We need to, and it never, you know, we're busy trying to do our day-to-day events and our regular stuff, and it's hard to get traction. And but like most nonprofits, we've seen a, you know, obviously a big dip in donations. Not that some people haven't been amazingly generous, they have. And a lot of volunteers, a lot of people sewing masks and gowns for us as well. Shout out to them. Thank
Yeah.
you. But, and there's been so many, like, you know, Rotaries have come forward, and it's just been amazing. But when it comes to sort of that ongoing, we can count on it kind of donation stuff, you know, folks are in hard times. And then, of course, we had to cancel our Heart of Hospice fun run. We canceled our Mother's Day Whale Watch for Hospice. We canceled our Juno Senior Center, you know, pancake breakfast on that we have every year. And that's a big loss because that is
Oh, we
our
always hear
hangout,
about
man.
that one.
It's an
Yeah.
awesome one. I mean, it's like standing room only at times, and we had to cancel that. And so we're feeling the burn. And so what we're trying to do is do like a lot of nonprofits are, and sort of switch to digital and say, okay, if we can't have an event in person, what can we do? So we're in the process of our championship campaign, which is was basically for a donation of any amount, you become a CCS champion. And all of our champions, thanks to Alaska Airlines, speaking of generous, we've got two round trip tickets donated by Alaska Air. Yes, they're flexible, guys.
Yeah.
So if you enter, if you donate any amount, you're entered into a drawing. So please donate by July 3rd. So basically, we've got swag gifts for different donation tiers, but and that's paid for by our sponsors. So I always feel kind of creepy saying we've got swag, and then I always think, yes, but the money could go towards our clients. And I like, but no, this is a good thing. We want to engage people. We want you to wear our t-shirts, which are awesome. And you get to pick your own color. And it's got an eagle carrying. Carrying an eagle carrying a heart with Southeast Alaska, and it's very, very snazzy. Shout out to PK, who's amazing for doing all of this. And so, you know, but we really want people to engage. We want to create new donors. We want to engage, and no gift is too small. We have quarterly and monthly donation options for people to make it simple. All you got to do is go to ccsak.org/champion or 4636161. Put in Catholic Community Service Juno, and our website will pop up. We also switched our website URL. For years, we've been ccsjuno.org, and I always felt weird about that. Not that I don't love Juno. I mean, 26 years and going strong for me, but we're a regional nonprofit, and every community is important to us. Just we happen to be headquartered in Juno, which is the largest community. So ccsak.org is in honor of everyone of Southeast Alaska that we serve, and we want to make sure that people know that that's what we're doing and who we are. And but you can always just put in the old website and get there. So we're really encouraging people to become a champion for Catholic Community Service and all the good work we do in the community. And again, any amount of donation entered to win those Alaska Airline tickets to be used at your convenience, hyper flexible considering the situation for all of us. Oh, and if you want to do it by phone, you can always just call us at 4636161, and Sherry will help you, and she's a delight. She actually was one of the people volunteering to sew masks and gowns while she was, you know, also works for us. So we just want to say thanks to folks and encourage folks to consider donating any amount at all, because if everyone gave $5, wow, we'd be totally in the black and rolling in dough, man. So don't think like any donation's too small, because it's really not. We just appreciate how, the support people have given us over the years and the support people are giving us now, because without that help, we wouldn't be able to help so many people, help so many elders and caregivers, help so many children. It's a real honor to do this kind of work, and work with such dedicated people who were willing to go out and risk their own safety to continue to deliver meals to elders in a safe way across Southeast. We're talking about people who put balloons and posters on the sides of the van and cake and drove it around town honking the horn, stopping at every elder's house to go, woo, we miss you. I mean, it's
Aww.
a good group of people who do more than they need to because they care. And I'm really blessed to work with these people.
Well, I am your enthusiasm is so contagious. Thank you so much for sharing all that. Just to recap, the website is ccsak.org. It's the championship campaign. Donations of any amount get you in the drawing for the super flexible Alaska Airlines tickets, and you can and certain amounts of donations will get you gifts in return, including that awesome t-shirt. I echo your shout out to PK. And I wanted to mention too, I don't think you touched on this, but you might get a mailer and you can donate by mail, and you can also break up your donations into monthly or quarterly payments. So, Aaron Walker-Tolles, thanks so much for speaking with me today. It's great to hear from you guys and check in with Catholic Community Service. Anything else you want to add before we say goodbye?
Not at all. Just have a wonderful day. And everyone, thanks for supporting us. And thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Sounds great. Have a good one.
Bye, Erin.